Lovely to be with you all today. Ben and I have been friends for a very long time, 20 years, I think. I know, I'm sorry too. We nearly got, well, we got very told off, didn't we, for setting up a rebellious alternative Christian thing at university that wasn't the Christian Union. So it was a Christian thing, yeah, but they didn't want it, did they? So yeah, we've been rebels together for a long time, which is nice. And it's lovely to be here at Linden as well. We've visited a few times when we've visited Ben and Naomi, and it's been lovely to be with you all. Andy Hunter, in fact, introduced DJ worship to Dave and I, that's my husband, when we were teenagers. So, you know, we feel very at home in the church. We were hoping we were gonna do all this kind of stuff this morning. Didn't happen, but you know, maybe one day when we come, it will. It will. We've been living in Salford, in inner city Salford, which is part of Greater Manchester, for 17 years now, which is a long time. Dave and I grew up in Wiltshire, so we can't say the word toilet without it sounding like we're from Bristol. But we love living in Salford. We moved there because we felt like God wanted us to move into the inner city and just be there and love people. And so we've been doing that for a long time. We're part of a church called Langworthy Community Church, which is a church that meets around the meal table, but mostly isn't about Sundays. It's about other stuff that happens through the week, where we want to be out and about in our community, just loving people and sharing the love of Jesus. And it's been my privilege for the last 10 years to work for our charity, which is our kind of main arm that does that through the week, I suppose, called the Life Centre. And that works mostly with children and young people. And we do a range of projects there that are linked to basically what we try and listen to the community and listen to the Holy Spirit. And where those two things come together, we're like, that's what we're supposed to do. So it is children, young people, but it's also a Flag American football team. It's also a women's running space because local women said we want to run. And I was like, okay, let's do that. So it's a bit eclectic, but it's good. And it's quite a small charity. So we've got four staff that work alongside me, and I get to be in charge and lead, which is really, really great, and serve the other people that I work with. And I work in the office with a lady called Esther, who's been part of, she's lived in Salford since she came there for university, and she stayed in the inner city, so she's super, super faithful. She can sing beautifully, but she doesn't do that for me. She just does the accounts and stuff. So I feel bad for her because sometimes she's just singing there, and I'm thinking, I know what you really want to do. And in her volunteer time, she sings in a choir called Manchester Inspirational Voices, which is like a massive community gospel choir. And it's conducted by a guy called Wayne Ellington. And Wayne has got a big personality. He's part of the Kingdom Choir. I don't know if you ever heard of that. They sang at one of the royal weddings. So the music that they produce is incredible. And Esther often invites me to come along to the concerts so that I can support her and listen to the music, which is fabulous. But Wayne has a like a way of, you know, wanting to be involving audience participation. And I don't know whether you like that or you hate it. I don't like it. And I went to the last concert that I went to, because I passed on the most recent one because I was just too traumatized, like just too much. And Wayne was going into the audience, like, you know, can you imagine this? So what's your talent? What's your talent? What's your talent? And asking people about what their gifts and talents were. And people are saying, you know, I'm a baker, or I'm obviously, some people said, I'm a singer. And he said, oh, come out and sing. That was nice. Some people said, oh, they're a dancer, that kind of thing. And as I was kind of sat where this lovely lady in the blue shirt is sat, you know, when you feel that sense of doom that someone's coming towards you. And I felt this sense like, oh, it's going to be me, it's going to be me, it's going to be me. And I'm thinking, what is my talent? What is my talent? What is my talent? I couldn't think, I don't have a talent. And I said to my friend Chris, who's Esther's husband, who was sat next to me, I said, what's my talent, Chris? And he said, oh, he said, you're very talented. I said, that's not going to help me in a minute. And Wayne came to me and said, what's your talent? And I said, organizing things. it is a talent, but he was like, oh. And there was this sort of silence. And then he was like, well, we always need people to organize things. And I was like, I know. And I hope that today we're going to look at the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And I hope that at the end of today, you're going to think about the fact and remember that God makes extraordinary things out of ordinary things. Maybe your gifts and talents are things that you know you can name them straight away. Like being friends with Ben, he can play everything, can't he? It's lovely, it's beautiful, it's full talents, but maybe you're like me and actually you don't really know what your talent is, or it's very difficult to explain. But actually God is in the business of taking those ordinary things that don't sound good in that setting and making them extraordinary. So if you want to follow with me, I don't think I've put it up on the screen, but it's John chapter 6 we're going to look at today. I'll just find it up. So we're going to look at the story of the feeding of the 5,000. It's a very famous passage that probably lots of you have heard of before or read before. It's in the New Testament, which is a part of the Bible that's after Jesus is born. And we learn about Jesus' life and then we go on to learn about the early church. And when we're reading the whole of the Bible, we always read it through the lens with our glasses on of Jesus, don't we? That's how we understand God, because Jesus is the full revelation of who God is. So any part of scripture, we take it by looking at Jesus first. What does this tell us? And so when we look at this part of the New Testament, we look at the stories of Jesus. It helps us to understand a lot more about God's character, who he is, what he's like. So I'm going to read John. It's from the beginning of chapter 6, if you're reading with me. After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterwards, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. So the context of this passage is that Jesus has just had quite a difficult interaction with the Jewish leaders. So then he's not meeting their expectations of what they think he should be doing as a religious person in the faith that he grew up as. He's not meeting the expectations of other people who think he's the savior and it should look a certain way for him to be a military king. And Jesus he's tired and worn out. Pretty tired and worn out. And I don't know if you've ever had a toddler follow you around all day, but they don't want to let up. And even when you go to the toilet, you don't get a minute's peace. I heard myself say toilet then. It sounded very Bristolian. That kind of attention is really tiring. And I think in this passage, Jesus is physically and he's emotionally tired. He's dealing with conflict all the time and not meeting people's expectations. And Jesus was fully human. He's fully human in these moments. He really feels these things. And yet Jesus is moved by compassion for their physical needs. He is asking the disciples, how will they feed them? And in this moment, Jesus does that thing that he always seems to do, is that there are different layers to what he's saying at the same time. So he's highlighting to the disciples that these people have physical needs. And how encouraging is that our humanity is seen and noticed by God? Jesus sees when you're tired, hungry, or sick. And he asks us as his disciples to notice that in one another as well, and to be part of the solution to that problem. But Jesus is also on another level talking about their spiritual well-being. Peter says, if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them, Jesus. And Jesus is like, yes, that's the point I'm making. So he's saying, you know, that we can't meet all of our needs humanly. And I don't know about you, but often when I have spiritual needs, maybe when I've had a terrible day, I will go home and instead of going to talk to Jesus about it, I'll go and put on one of those Netflix Christmas movies. You know, the ones that are like Hallmark style movies. I know the story, it's the same every time, but I still put it back on every time. And I go and get myself a nice bar of dairy milk and I think that will solve the problem. Whereas actually, our spiritual needs are there to be met by Jesus. He is the one who knows how to fix and work within our hearts. And he's the one who's got more than enough, hasn't he? He's got loads left over. So the disciples bring this young boy who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Now that isn't much food for a crowd of thousands, but it is quite a lot for one boy. And it makes me think about my son who was here before, who's 14 now. He can easily eat 3 pizzas by himself. And he would also like to have an average of 6 meals a day. And he puts on no weight, just keeps eating. And I just keep, my bill at Aldi just keeps going up and up and up. And this boy brings this ordinary food to Jesus, this regular food. And Jesus tells everyone to sit down. He prays over the food and he begins to give it out. And everyone has loads to eat. Like the food just miraculously multiplies until there's enough for everyone and there's food left over. So there's more than enough. There's more than enough. And I don't know whether you've seen that in your own life personally, in your walk with God. For me, I've seen that a lot in my time at the Life Centre. And I wanted to share with you today a little bit of our experience with seeing God taking ordinary things in our hands and making them extraordinary and multiplying them. So when I was starting work there 10 years ago, it was all volunteers. We had no money whatsoever, but we had this building and this charity that a number of years ago had had funding to have staff there. And it felt like it was the right thing for us to actually have somebody working there and develop the work. And so we wrote to everyone we knew, all of our friends, and said, please, can you give them £10 a month so that Beth can start working at the Life Centre? And I handed my notice in, still with no money. And the day before I was due to start, we had still had a £200 gap a month just to be able to pay our mortgage. So it was a little bit stressful. But we kept praying that God would use what was in our hands and other people's hands. And 3 o'clock the afternoon before I was due to start work, someone phoned and said, oh, I've decided I want to give you £200 a month. And I was like, okay, great. I can start work then. And so we started, and then we decided that we wanted to really listen to people in the community. What were the issues that people were facing? And what kept coming back to us from parents and from local schools was this issue of holiday hunger, which I'm sure people have heard of now, yeah, because Marcus Rashford has made it like a big issue, which is brilliant. So holiday hunger is really children who don't have free school meals in the holidays, and so they miss out on those lovely hot dinners that they normally get at school, and it's a challenge for their families to be able to provide that food for them. So there were lots of parents in our community. We live in a community where 60% of families are in poverty, and so there was a lot of parents missing meals to feed their children. There were a lot of children, a number of them eating out of the same bowl of cereal in an evening for tea, that kind of stuff. And we wanted to listen to that and listen to the Holy Spirit. So what have we got in our hands? What can we do? So as I said, we're a church that's quite small. It's probably about 25 people there today without us there. So it's not big, but we can cook. we can cook for a lot of people. So we were like, okay, so we can cook. That's what's in our hands. So we decided that combined with that, and we can run some games and stuff for kids, we could put on a holiday club. And so we did that with volunteers in the building that we had. So we were able to have 20 children. But of course, as soon as we opened the holiday club, then it was full. It was full already. And we didn't necessarily have any money. So we did some fundraising. We were so excited to get, we got up to £200. And we were like, yes, we've got £200 that pays for the food. So it was, we were really working on like a very small scale, but we felt like each time we asked God what we should do, it kind of came back, yeah, that this is the right thing to do. And it was moved by that compassion, I guess, like Jesus looks out over the crowds and he thinks, what do these people need? Like that was the same thing for us in Salford. And then we knew that we needed a bigger space. So we asked the primary school behind our building if they would give us the school hall for free for 4 weeks of the summer holidays, and also could we have a member of their staff for free as well. And they just looked at me like, and I was like, no, I'm serious, can you really give us that? And they went away and they said, yeah, we'll give you that. So we were like, okay, God, this is pretty cool. You've opened this door. Like, we've not paid anything. There's not paid any rent or anything. And so we went to move to this school where we could have 50 children a day. And it was brilliant. And we had loads of people from across loads of different churches in Salford come down and use their talents. Because there are a lot of people out there with good talents, music, sports, like games, art, all that kind of stuff. Like we had loads of different things happening, and we had lots of volunteers who came and cooked the food as well. But it was pretty tough to get enough people to do that for the number of children that we had. And we knew that there were just so many more children across the city as well. So we realized that not only had God put these kind of skills, I guess, in our hands, but also had given us a voice, and we should be using that voice with the government and with the local council. So we joined part of a network called Make Lunch, who were doing work with the all-party parliamentary group at Westminster, and they were basically campaigning on behalf of children, saying the government needed to fund some provision for these children. And at the same time, we started hassling a lot of people in the local council. Hassling with a smile, do you know what I mean? Like this, hi, it's lovely to meet you, but can we do something about this issue? And really, I had a couple of meetings with councillors where they said, thanks so much for coming, Beth. Yeah, it's a real issue. No, we can't do anything about it. And I was like, oh, it's very disappointing. But we kept on praying because we felt like, you know, we were seeing the children every holiday who needed it. So we felt like God hadn't said it's time to stop yet. We just kept going. And I was then contacted by a guy called Tom, who's the head of the Citizens Advice Service in Salford. And I was really excited because I was thinking, oh, he's contacting me because he wants something to happen and we're going to make something happen together and it's going to be across the city and it's going to be amazing. And he came and met with me, and the first thing he said was, Beth, I have been sent by the council to get you off their backs. And I was like, okay. I said, well, I will go away when we do something about this issue. We need to do something. And Tom didn't have any money to offer me, but he did have a contact with the head of the catering service for the whole of Salford. So the people who are in charge of the lovely people who cook food in each of the schools, that catering service. And so he said, I'll set you up a meeting with the head of that. So I was like, yeah, that's brilliant, because if that happens, then we can get more head teachers on board. We can have, you know, these people can cook food in lots of different settings, and that'll be brilliant. And so I went to that meeting praying that there would be a bit of a breakthrough there. And I was like, God, I believe that you're going to do something. And then I got there, and then they said, the man that you were supposed to meet with, he's gone to the town hall for another meeting because it was more important. I was like, oh. But it was amazing because the woman who was there, she said, I want to take the meeting with you. She said, I know all about holiday hunger. In my church, I've set up a holiday club myself. And I'm also involved in the whole of the northwest of England caterers service. And we're looking at the issue of holiday hunger. So come in, you're better to meet with me. And I was like, oh, thank you, God. I can't believe this. It was so good. And so I went in and met with this lady who was called Sharon. And she said, I said what I wanted, which was to have cooks all over the city again for free. Can you please just ask them to volunteer? Or maybe you could pay them. She was like, I can't pay them. I was like, okay. So anyway, basically, she said, yes, I will ask for volunteers to come and cook in all your sessions. And she said, I'll also sort out all the food for you. And she said, I'll work out how we can, you know, charge it or whatever. And so from that, we managed to get 6 head teachers to say yes. And we had the cooks in each of those places across the city. Sharon never invoiced me for any food the whole time we were running it. So she just worked out how she was going to give that, and God gave us that for free. So it was a beautiful thing to see what God was doing and what God was able to do, like you were talking about, immeasurably more than, you know, we could have humanly ever created. He multiplied it. And as a result of all the campaigning that we were doing to government, the government decided they would put some funding in, but you had to bid for it. And we bid for it as Salford Council, and the council invited me to be part of those meetings, which initially I wasn't really allowed to speak much, but then after a while I was. And we bid for it 3 times, and we were unsuccessful 3 times, but God still provided all of this food and venues and stuff all through those 3 years. And at the end of the 3 years, coming off the back of COVID in 2021, the government agreed to fund free school meals for all children in every part of England, and I believe Wales at that point as well, throughout all the school holidays, 4 days a week, 4 weeks of each holiday. And it was just an incredible answer to prayer that God had actually changed the hearts of people in government through people on the ground using what was in their hands to make a difference. And as a result of that, the Life Centre was asked to partner with the council in deciding what the programme should look like across the city. So we were involved in a budget of £1.3 million. Deciding how that £1.3 million was going to be spent, checking on the quality of what was happening for the children, with the children at the centre of what was happening, designing the programme. So Life Centre itself delivered 13 holiday clubs across the city, but we commissioned 40 providers of all sorts of different groups and faiths and activities and all sorts of stuff all across the city to provide for children. And so we've had 4 years of seeing thousands of children getting hot meals and fun and friendship all through the school holidays as a result of that. It's incredible, isn't it? Incredible. And I can stand here and say that is what God does. That is what God does. And yeah, I'm not saying we haven't worked hard or we haven't knocked on doors. Our part of it is there, but actually it's about just offering those ordinary things to him. And he, like this story, he multiplies it and makes it something incredible. And it's an amazing adventure to be on with God, to partner with him. It's risky because you don't always know how everything's going to turn out. But actually, it's a beautiful thing to see God's heart of compassion start to impact on the community around you. And it's just by offering what's in our hands. And we don't have to be feeling super energetic to do it either. We don't have to have a plan of how it's all going to end up, because it's Jesus who takes our offerings in our humanness and he transforms them to impact the world around us. So I hope that's been encouraging to hear that story and to remember that that's our God, isn't it? That's our God. That's what he does. And like Chris was saying this morning, how easy it is for us to underestimate Jesus, really. So what we're going to do now is I really want you to have a bit of time to think about what's in your hands. Chris, would you help me give these out? Would that be okay? Don't worry, I'm not going to come around with the microphone with this. I'd be extending that doom on anyone else. So you should have a piece of paper and it's got 2 sets of hands on it. The first set of hands, yeah, thank you. This is the first set of hands, is to think about what is in your hands. So on the top half of the paper, you're going to think about what is in your hands as an individual person. And so that might be your relationships with people. It might be your workplace. Maybe you do have talents that you can write down and name on there. Maybe it's you have a bike. Maybe you have a car. Maybe you have a house. Like, what it might be that you have assets. It might be that you have family. So writing down all of those things that you would want to offer back to God. And then the second set of hands there is to look at what you've got as a church. So if you think about Linden Church, what is it that you have in your hands that you would want to offer back to God? Say that again. So on that piece of paper, your first hands are for you. So the top half of the paper, write what's in your hands, or you can draw, doesn't matter, however you like, you just think about it. And the bottom half of the paper is about the hands of Linden Church. What have you got in your hands as Linden Church, okay? And I'm not going to ask you to feedback, don't worry. This is really for you to just talk to Jesus. So I'm going to pray now. I think Ben's going to play a bit. Yeah, good. And we're just going to offer that to God. And so maybe just gonna have a little bit of quiet, and then we will move into a bit of worship after that. Lord, we love you and we thank you that you take ordinary things and make them extraordinary. You are worthy of our lives and our worship, and we trust you whether something ends up being massive or something that other people can't see, because your kingdom is in the big and the small. And so we offer you all of these things that we're writing down now. Holy Spirit, inspire our thinking. Help us to know you within us. Help us to know what we want to be offering back to you. Amen.